This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Today, our show is about the California Delta, the region just to the east of the Bay Area between Sacramento and Stockton. Major California rivers drain there, and over decades of building dams and reservoirs and pumps, it's become the major hub of California's water system. But it's not just the water flow that's been transformed there. This land used to be made up of tidal wetlands and marshes of tule grass. Today, there are nearly 60 islands surrounded by levees. Most of the land is used for farming, and it's some of the richest farmland in the state. Lisa Morehouse takes us to meet two people whose families have deep roots in Delta agriculture.
I'm driving down a long road on Andrus Island in the Central Delta, headed for Kay Dix Farm. It's home to pear orchards, a packing shed, a business office, and some truck storage. The man in charge here is Daniel Wilson, whose family's farmed the Delta for generations. Wilson lives just down the road in a house built by his grandfather almost 100 years ago.
Now, we're going to take you into an orchard, and we're going to show you kind of different stages of growth.
We walk past the packing facility. It's quiet now, but in summer it buzzes with machines and people, washing, treating, and separating pears by size, wrapping them in tissue so the delicate fruit can withstand being shipped across the country. They grow several thousand tons of pears each year.
These are Bartlett pears. This was the entire river 30 years ago. Every single tree was this 30 years ago.
The winter orchard is filled with Medusa-like pear trees.
We've now diversified away from these trees, and we've gotten other varieties.
Using an age-old practice, they've grafted a pear called Stark Crimson onto stumps of old Bartlett trees because, Wilson says, new varietals can bring in almost twice as much as Bartlett pears right now.
One could argue we've diversified away from these so much that we're starting to go, oops, went too far. But that's farming. You change varieties, you try to see what's profitable.
Pears were one of the first commercial crops in the Delta.
I have trees next to my house. You can see those trees in the distance that are 130, 140 years old. Grandpa plants five different types of fruit, and the pears are the one that lived.
Why have people grown pears and other crops here for so long?
It's nice soil, it's rich in nutrients, and, you know, it's close to population centers back in the day.
Back in the days of the gold rush. Many of the most successful people of the time weren't miners, but were instead the ones who sold food and supplies to the miners, says Wilson.
You wanted to be the guy selling the shovel, not the guy digging with the shovel.
While miners sought their fortunes in the hills, the state encouraged farmers to come to the Delta and basically turn part-time swampland into full-time farmland by building levees. That's how this area came to be what it is today.
So back in the 1850s, they passed the Arkansas Swamp and Reclamation Act, and they said, state, we'll give you this land here in these marshes in Arkansas and California if you give them to people and the people build levees around it and reclaim the land and turn it into productive farmland, then they can keep it. And that's when these reclamation districts are formed, and the local farmers built the levees and kept the water back, and that's how agriculture developed in the Delta.
Agricultural infrastructure looked pretty different back then. In the 1920s and 30s, when fruit growing really picked up, Wilson says farmers here would take pears across the island to the Sacramento River, which is about a mile away.
They would load the fruit onto a schooner, and the schooner would pick up at various farms, and then it would turn around and head back down to San Francisco.
Labor was different, too. Today, most of the crews Wilson hires to pick and pack pears are Latino.
When I was a kid, every pear crew that worked around here was from the Philippines.
Filipinos were essential to Delta agriculture and were most famously linked with the asparagus crop. I drive over to a former labor camp on nearby Twitchell Island with 93-year-old Nicholas Cataño. He knows the history of Filipinos in the Delta firsthand.
This is practically all asparagus. All these fields right in here.
Cataño's Portuguese mother met his Filipino father on a plantation in Hawaii, where Cataño was born. When his paternal grandfather found better work in California, most of the family came here, including a one-year-old Nicholas. His family farmed and became labor contractors.
I supervise these fields here, yeah, as a labor contractor. Here's a packing shed right here. He still has the machinery in there.
After showing me the field, Cattaneo directs me to his home, which sits atop a levee. It's stuffed with neatly hung, perfectly pressed clothes and fishing poles and old photographs.
I got a picture and I want to show you if you had time to look at it, though.
One posed portrait shows well over 100 people, almost all young men. It was taken at a large gathering of Filipinos in Los Angeles.
These are all farmers and farm laborers in the Delta.
And they're dressed to the nines in fine suits. Most Filipinos in the Delta were men. In fact, the only women and children in the image belong to Cattaneo's family, due in large part to his father's position as a labor contractor.
We had a lot of men. You know, they all came from all over, you know, from the Philippines, from the Hawaiian Islands, you know, from wherever they were urged to come here.
Cattaneo says his father organized crews of Filipino workers to move around the state, harvesting different crops. In the Delta, cutting asparagus, which they called grass, was back-breaking work.
And they would cut more or less about 4 acres each, 4 acres a day apiece, which was almost impossible to do. You had to have 2 or 3 knives all sharp all the time, you know, stone in your hand, always sharpening your knives.
And workers would place the hand-picked asparagus onto sleds pulled by horses. There's still some asparagus grown in the Delta, but for the last couple decades, cheaper asparagus, imported from Mexico, has made many farmers here turn to other crops that make a higher profit and require less labor. Now, many of the fields that grew asparagus hold corn, alfalfa, and other crops that need just a combine and one driver for 100 acres. Daniel Wilson's one of those farmers. He gave up growing asparagus years ago, but he runs part of his business in a building connected to the crop's history in the Delta.
This facility you see hanging out over the water started its life as a Southern Pacific Railroad packing shed for produce, by the way, for asparagus in specific. They would pack the asparagus and the entire river would be covered with asparagus butts.
Now it's a grain elevator, one of his family's many business endeavors. Along with farming and grain storage, they're in the transportation business, too.
We ship corn and wheat, you know, various grains out of here in our trucking business. We also ship pears, our main crop, and wine grapes, and olives, and anything else we can think of. But those are our main products. Did I miss any? So those are our main things we haul out of the Delta.
It's all part of being a successful farming family, not depending solely on pears.
Any crop that you're totally devoted to makes you a little vulnerable to if the pears go bad, which they have in the late 40s and the 80s and times like that, then you want to diversify into other things.
Along with diversifying, farmers around the Delta are trying other strategies to stay viable. There's a huge farmers market at the intersection of two major highways, and it's filled with Delta wine and produce and stories about the farmers. Local businesses hand out tour maps for visitors to drive up the river and visit local farms along the way. Like Wilson, they want to keep farming here.
We have pretty deep roots here. We farm here because we can make good money, and we like the area. I'm sure if you talk to a farmer in Dinuba or one in Oroville, they'd tell you the same thing. The dad farmed here and grandpa farmed here, and so I'm farming here.
Wilson's children and nephews work for him, and he sees neighbors' kids still involved, especially on the business side of farming. He says there's not a lot of big ag here. Though he sees the number of owners getting smaller and their operations getting bigger, Wilson says there are few, if any, widely held corporations involved in farming in the Delta.
It's a complicated area to survive in. You have to take care of the levees, you have to take care of the drainage. We're regulated much more heavily than a lot of other areas.
Every farmer I talk to in the Delta has concerns about the state's proposed Bay Delta Conservation Plan, which would build tunnels at the north end of the Delta to ship water across the state. They have questions about how much farmland would be lost to tunnel construction and wetland restoration, and about the quality of the Delta water. Daniel Wilson shares these concerns, but in the meantime, he's sticking to what his family's done for over a century.
I love to farm. I like this area. I like to grow things. So if we can figure out how to make money doing something we love to do, then we've got our questions answered.
In the Delta, I'm Lisa Morehouse for Cross Currents.